to you, Lord. Take this life, Lord, that's now yours. Yeah, Lord, and have it. Have it all. Have my all. Have my heart. Have my life. Have my kids. Have everything that I own, Lord. All belongs to you, Lord. It all came from you. It all belongs to you. You are the source of all that is life. You are the source of all that is alive. You can have it all, Lord. My heart says, have it all, Lord. My heart breathes to you. The breath I have, Lord, belongs to you. The shoes I have, Lord, belongs to you. The car I have, Lord, belongs to you. You can have it all, Lord. It all came from you. My life, my relationships, my all, Lord. My time, my treasure. All belongs to you, Lord. You can have it all. I love you, Jesus. And we love you this morning. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. Thank you for coming to be in the presence of your praise, the praise of your people. In Jesus' name we bless you. Amen. You can take your seats. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Simeon. Thank you, Buchilo. Thank you for leading us in worship so beautifully. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We can... Thank you. Thank you once more. Thank you once again, you guys. Thank God for the worship team from Stellenbosch, Shofar Stellenbosch. Thank you so much for leading us and gracing us today. My name is Talent, for all those that don't know me. I'm co-leading with Bradley and the two families. Siko is my wife there with baby Zoe. Yeah, we welcome you. Thank you so much for coming. We're just going to move to the word, to the preaching of the word this morning. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the time of worship. Yeah, just to reiterate the announcement from Sam that next week we will not be here. We are meeting at Titiha Park at the church office, Unit 5 and 6. Please check... if you need more, we'll put those details again on the WhatsApp group this week as a reminder that because this venue is going to be used next week, Sunday, we will not have access to it. So please make sure you've got the address to the church. Same time, 9 o'clock, 9:30 at the office. Next week, thank you, Holy Spirit. We'll also have students joining us, one or two students from Tiger Bay campus. Although my wife and I will be away, we'll be in East London next weekend, but that will be we'll trust that we'll have a great service next week on Sunday. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's good to see beautiful faces. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you for coming, new and existing. Thank you. We're going to have coffee after this. Please don't rush. Let's stay and let's fellowship. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna find my verses. I'll give you the title of my sermon in a moment. But yeah, let's get to the word. Let's rest in the Lord. are uncomfortable with silence. It can be very awkward. That was deliberate. And you can see on the screen why I did that. Like, for a moment, I'm like, what is he doing? He's going to speak. Like, who's going to crack first? Who's going to, like, if you stare someone in the face, you do a staring competition, you want to see who's going to crack first, who's going to blink first. A lot of us, generally, we can't, like, sit still and be quiet and not do anything and have no activity. Just sit. Like, do nothing. Like, you feel there's a scratch inside of you to say, can we go on to the next program? Like, what's going on? Like, tell me what to do. What's the next thing? It's hard in our day, like, to even sit still without your phone. Just sit still. Just, you know, sit down and just, like, no timer. Nobody has told you how long this is going to take. Let's just sit. Okay, thank you. The test is over. We can all laugh. Thank you, Adan. Thank you for cooperating. Yeah, how difficult was that? Anyone want to share? What was going on in your head? Yes. It was quite nice. Oh, that's good. Good to hear. So Simeon says quite nice. Let's hear someone else. What was going through your head? That you've been trying to avoid. Sure. Sure. Like, face your, yes. Thank you so much for sharing. Like, you didn't realize you face your, you are literally facing yourself.
Okay, with me, I was just thinking that sometimes we are in a difficult place and we keep on praying and we keep on asking from God and nothing is happening. So what do we do when God is silent? Do we give up or we continue praying? What do we do in that situation? So that's what I was thinking. When God is silent and you are keeping on asking and there is silence. What do you do?
Sure. That's so deep. Like, I never thought of that. That's so deep. But amazing. Siko?
What was going on in my mind? I'm thinking, okay, Leafy, like, get going, like, preach the sermon. What do people think? They're here to listen to you preach a sermon. But I was so mindful in that moment of just the expectations, the weight, because I'm like, I get the task and I get what he's doing, but I'm thinking, oh my word, I wonder how everyone else is experiencing this. So it was quite a rude awakening for me.
Thank you. Thank you. That's quite real. Anyone else to share?
Hi, well, first of all, I'm sure, what are you doing? But then I could see, yes, rest. But it's so good to actually get into that rest with God and really hear what do you want for me. It was awesome, and also just the hearing the words again of the song and the assurance of his love for me. That's really special.
Thank you, thank you. So you kept hearing their song in your head, even though you were trying to get some rest. Amazing, amazing.
Okay, can everybody hear me? Okay, cool. I don't like speaking over a mic. So to me, it's in the Bible, it says that you have to meditate on your thoughts and you have to become silent in front of God and just listen. And to me, that is something that I get a lot in nature, when you can sit and all of a sudden you hear the noises that you hardly ever hear. Like, you hear the birds singing and you hear the wind in the leaves. And when you're so busy with your rushed life, running from one appointment to the next, you stop listening to what God gave you. Which is nature, and just the beauty of it, and how that actually also nourishes your soul. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. We are getting so many different visions and so many amazing. Thank you so much for sharing those. Anyone else? Corneli?
I think I will just add that often our battle is not against the busyness, but against distraction. And I think the silence made me realize again, it can be very silent, but if you don't battle like the distraction in your head, I think that breakthrough is not going to come, because your thoughts are still going to keep on running. And if the distraction is often the real battle.
Yes, yes, Dan. Wow, so true, so true. Yo, that's amazing. I mean, guys, you have preached the whole sermon. I mean, if you bring together all the thoughts, that's the whole sermon. You realize that distraction is not necessarily in the outward activity. It can also be in the mind, like in the thoughts. You think you are there, but you're not really there. And then all of a sudden you are face to face with your own thoughts, like Sam says, and nature as well, being able to hear, being still to hear the things that you would not otherwise hear when you are still. You know, and obviously the nerves, and I know I didn't tell you this, my wife. She's like, what are you doing? I know. Thanks for sharing. So basically this is the sermon, guys. That's the message from God, is rest is important. And it's not just physical rest. Rest is not just sitting on the chair. Rest is that stillness that she was talking about. The stillness where you get to hear God's voice. You get to actually hear, like, things that you never listen to, things that you don't hear. It's rest is when your spirit, when God recharges your spirit. So sometimes we think rest, you know, now there are people that, you know, it used to happen a lot with me that I would be so tired and I would take a day off to rest. But I took a whole day of rest, but I was still tired at the end of the day. Anyone ever experienced that? Like you rest, but at the end you're still tired. And that is why the Lord has been so intentional in telling Israel, be still and know that I am God. If you are to take away, if that verse means something to you today just from that, then that's enough. Be still and know that I am the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Jesus says, come unto me, all those who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Hebrews speaks about a day of rest, and not just the physical rest, the Sabbath rest. But he says a rest that the Lord has made. And it's a rest that's far much more than the physical rest. The love of God. I'm not too sure how to continue, but you know, there was a deliberate play of words, a double meaning. Remember to rest. It's deliberate in the sense that you could be thinking of remember to rest as an A to Z, from remember to rest, or you could think of it reminder to rest. So there are two sermons right there. If I don't finish today, then we'll finish another time. But I want you to think about those two words, remember and rest. They go together. Real rest is when your mind is at rest, is focused on the right things. It's not so much the absence of focus as in the focus on the right thing. Next slide, please. Let's just go. So in Hebrews, Joshua chapter 4, you will all remember this verse when the Lord says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people from each tribe, a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each one of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them, the waters of the Jordan were cut before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. We all remember that scripture, right? When God performed a miracle, first out of Egypt, Israel walked the Red Sea parts. Then again, over flooding Jordan River that you could not cross. And then they just walk in, and then the river is cut off, and then they're able to cross. I mean, when you have seen a miracle like that, when you have seen, in fact, we tend to think that Jesus says some people look for a sign, but even when people have seen miracles, some people still harden their hearts. It happened to Israel. After some time, they were tired of this, God, please take us back to Egypt. But you guys, we just saw a miracle. You saw the Red Sea part. You saw, it happens that I've seen miracles. But I also fall to that place where some days I feel like, God, where are you? But I've seen real miracles right before my eyes. And so the key thing is to remember. The key thing we must cultivate in our hearts is a habit of remembering what the Lord has done. The only way to sustain your faith, your love, your relationship with God is to constantly remember what He has done. And to rest in that. That's the message this morning. Just the Lord just to remind you that there is time to remember what the Lord has done, and there's time to rest in that. God says, take up the stones, put them up, because you will need them when down the line, when you have no perspective, when you lose perspective, you need to just go back and remember the goodness of the Lord. In fact, on Sunday, I was talking on campus, I was talking to the students about the conundrum that I faced one day. Some of you have told you my testimony. I know what it is to literally see God's provision and miracles, and I mean healings, whatsoever miracles. Like I've seen God like do stuff. But there are days when all that evaporates in my head. I remember I shared with you the other week about how the Lord provided for me in high school. Literally, God sent someone to come and provide food for me, just like Elijah and that. The food, the provision, like every month on visiting day, she would bring lots of groceries. High school was over, finished. I went to university. I had funding for a year. All of a sudden, for something happened, funding stopped. And then I found myself second year, no funding, nothing. And then I remembered the God that provided for me in high school. Instead of quitting varsity, I remembered. I persisted. Literally, the whole semester, the whole term, I was pushing and I was saying, I'm not going to quit. But later I had nothing. And then God raised a businessman somewhere. He calls me, he says, God told me to employ you during vacation, and to pay all everything that you need to pay all your fees from nowhere. After a whole term of persisting, knowing that God has done it before. That's all I needed. God has done it before in high school. He will do it again. And many people quit. But that one thing I could remember, you know what? I remember in high school, I had nothing. He came through. Each and every day that gave me strength. I mean, there were days when I would wake up, I remember I was renting. I remember one day I had not paid rent for the whole month. The landlord, he had nothing to do. He came to me and the only thing that he could find was to take my blanket from my room, because like there's nothing that I can take that you have, that you own. The only thing that's valuable is your blanket. That day I could have been angry with God and say, but God, you have taken me this far. In fact, I was tempted to be bitter and to be angry for some time. And then I remembered God that did for me in high school. And I protected my heart from bitterness and anger. And guess what? It wasn't 2 months from there that the Lord raised someone, spoke to someone, and he paid fees, all the fees, and he sponsored the rest of the fees for me in university. And my heart, actually, the heart of the matter for me, the painful heart of the matter for me on this, remember, is when I finished varsity, got a job, working, bought a car, now I'm married, have a beautiful wife, beautiful baby, everything is good, I have a house and all stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, God, the passion and the hunger I used to have, it's all gone now. I was so fervent in my worship, in my prayer, in my Bible study. When I didn't have, when I trusted God for the next meal, I was so fervent and so faithful. But the same provision, but now, in fact, so much that whenever I plan, I look at my certificate or my degree, I look at this and I look calculate. I do a lot of calculations now in my head. And I want to look for a new job. If I have a challenge, I push certificates. I lived by faith. I knew God as my source. And that was the best thing to ever happen to me. Because everything I have and everything I had. So someone said if you... The reason why we struggle in praise and worship is because we don't have a story with God. We can talk about deliverance, how the Lord delivered, or how the Lord delivers from Egypt. The generation that's singing those songs, they were not there. They are singing their grandparents' stories. That's why God says, bring the stones, because the day will come, a generation will come that did not see these miracles. They need to be reminded. And so sometimes it happens when we sing the Lord my deliverer, the lyrics on the screen that we are singing, they are someone else's lyrics. They wrote that song because they had a divine experience, a something with God, a personal testimony with God. And when we sing, they're just words, meaningless words to some of us, because I've never experienced that. But if you have experienced that, you can identify with the song, and it can be personal. It can be amazing, because sometimes our praise, your praise is directly proportional to how much you know God. It's like I can talk to Siko, I can praise Sam differently to the way I can praise Siko, because I know Siko, I know the nerves, the right nerves to touch. If I know God, I know how to praise him personally because I know him. So back to my story. I remember one day I'm like, God, what's wrong with me? And the Lord speaks to me. He says, you have stopped living by faith. When you had nothing, you lived by faith. You praised me every moment. I mean, I kid you not. I would be walking to campus. I would be singing a song. I'll be worshiping in my heart, singing melody in that verse. And my heart was so full of joy and gratitude and stuff. And I'm like, what went wrong? Now that I feel entitled to stuff because I can afford it, because I qualify for it, because this, that. And the joy of having God as my source slowly drifts away. The joy of praising God because he is my source. In everything, I see God's provision. I mean, in every small little thing, I would praise God. I would see God's provision. But when I felt I deserve it, I'm entitled to it, I'm a software engineer, I can pay for this, all of a sudden my heart, something happened to my heart that over a long time I didn't notice. That's why I was so touched when I was seeing Theo prostrate on the floor worshiping God. I'm like, this was me. And I'm like, can I be able to do that when I have plenty, be able to do what I used to do when I had nothing, and be able to do it when I have plenty? I'm seeing there because I know Theo. I know he's got enough. In fact, if I can put him on the category of rich, but he's lying prostrate on the floor. He's worshiping God. I mean, this is it. Like, this is the heart where you have it, but you can bring yourself to spread yourself before the Lord and say, all that I have belongs to the Lord. The Lord is my source. It's not because of the strength of my working, of the intelligence of my mind. That attitude, the attitude of remembering the goodness of the Lord, remembering that what you have, the life you have, belongs to the Lord. That's the reason why Jesus said, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's like a camel. What did he say? Camel going through the eye of a needle. The problem is not riches. The problem is the attitude that grows in our heart when we are entitled, when we forget to see the connection of God being the source, when it's now, this is what I've worked for. And I pray in our hearts today that the Lord reminds us. Remember the story you have heard with God. I remember so many stories. But just to bring it back, to say, God, can you bring me back to that place? Well, yes, I have it. Don't take away what I have, please. Don't take away my wife and kids and nice stuff. But bring back again the fire, the zeal, the passion that I had when I had nothing. The same attitude. Next slide, please. The rest. So in Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. In fact, the whole of chapter 4, I will just quote verse 8. I have a few minutes to close. The Bible says, for if Joshua had given them rest, which is the Sabbath rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest and also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. So rest is not a state of being quiet or sleeping. It is a posture. It is a place in the spirit. It is a posture of the heart. Rest, if you are writing notes, rest is a posture of the heart. And it is a place where life flows, where praise, where worship, where a relationship with God flows and thrives. It flows from a place, she was talking about the love of God, no fear. It flows from a place of rest, from a place of not striving. There can be noise around you, there can be strife around you, there can be lag around your life, but you can be at rest. In fact, I know what it is to be at lag. I went to varsity having not paid school fees and have the registrar come and chuck out of the lectures. But my heart was at rest. I mean, in all the mess, in all the craziness, my heart was at rest. I went back the following day. I did not get angry or bitter. So rest, regardless of the circumstances around you, rest is a posture. Number two, rest is an attitude of faith. Rest is an attitude of faith. When there's chaos around you and you are at rest, you trust in the Lord. It means you trust in God. I'll give you the example. Jesus, there was a storm. Jesus was sleeping on the boat. What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, the wind is blowing. The guys, they're afraid we are going to die. This, and Jesus is just, it's not like he wasn't aware there was a storm. He was just sleeping on the boat. Because of his great faith. Because he trusts that the Lord will not get us killed. That in the midst of the storm. So sometimes in the midst of, we all have struggles, we are all in different things. But in the midst of all that, your faith determines your attitude towards what you are going through. The attitude you have, what happens to you, you cannot stop a bird from flying over your head and doing all sorts of stuff. But your attitude, you can stop it from laying a nest through your attitude. So attitude, just like Cornelius spoke about the fact about it's quiet, rest, it's not so much as how outward things are. It can be chaotic, but you can be at rest. It can be quiet and you cannot be at rest. So the fact that sometimes we deceive ourselves that once everything settles, I have the finances, I need everything, I worship God, that's a deception. Or where you think that you will be fine when all the problems are gone, that's a deception. Rest is not the absence of problems. Peace is not the absence of issues. It's a heart posture. It's something, it's an attitude of trust. An attitude of faith. I trust God. And therefore, all this. Third thing, rest is an attitude of praise. An attitude of praise. You don't need a big testimony of having been saved from gangs and the Numbers gang and stuff. Some of us, when we hear these big testimonies of how God transformed this guy from a gang, you ask ourselves, but what about me? I grew up a small, nice boy. I didn't have all the evil things. You don't need to have done evil stuff to have a powerful testimony. Amen. You don't need to have been delivered from some crazy thing because it is the attitude of praise. It is the attitude of the fact that I am what I am because of the Lord. He is my source. The parents that he has given me, the good home I was raised up, you see the Lord in everything. It is an attitude. It is a posture. Let's close with Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, Jesus tells the story of a man who was owed a lot of money, let's say 50,000 rands by one person, another person owed him 1,000 rands. And then these people come to this man, and this man says, okay, it would have taken you the whole year or 2 years or even your entire lifetime to pay my debt, but I'm forgiving you of of all the debt. Don't pay that money. 500,000 and 1,000, let's put it that way. And then Jesus asks a question, and he says in verse 47 of Luke, he asks, who of these two do you think, let's find that verse, let's just find, I think that would be good just to read it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke 7, let's read that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. So Jesus says, and Jesus answered and said to them, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he says, Master, say on. Therefore, a certain creditor, we had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50 pence. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he whom he forgave the most. And he said unto them, rightly judged. And said to the woman, since I came into this house, she has been, she gave me water, wiped my feet, she gave me, wiped my, no, let's just skip. She did all these nice things, she kissed and so forth. And then I want to go to verse 7. Therefore I say, 47, therefore I say, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Let me get a friendly version. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as a great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Here lies our conundrum. You don't need to have owed Jesus 500,000 for you to love him commensurate with that. Because Jesus says this one who has been owed 500,000 would love God more for being forgiven more than the one who owed less. Same story about having a big testimony. That's why sometimes the poor and those that have been deep in sin, when they get born again, they are much more serious, or they love God, they grow, because they know where they come from. They have a bigger testimony. But Jesus is showing us that we don't need to be in that place, because our hearts actually, let me put it this way, our hearts, we constantly have to pull our hearts, because it's rigged that way, that the more God has done for you, the more you appreciate. And the less you have testimonies or stories of a practical example of God coming through for you, the less you feel the need to praise. Is it making sense? And therefore, we have to constantly pull our hearts away from that. Where he says, the one who has been forgiven more loves more. And I want to be able to love God and praise him more, regardless of how much I've been forgiven, regardless of how much I have, regardless of what my circumstances have been. And I want you to sit this morning in your heart and just do two things. Remember one good thing that the Lord has done for you. Remember a specific story. Remember a specific time. I've shared some of you the testimonies where I'm saying, God saved me. I remember we were almost like, I remember the other time, almost 1 a.m. We're coming from it's 2 a.m. from a worship concert with my brother. We're driving right on the lane in Joburg in Pretoria. Right in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. I think, we're driving right on our lane. And from nowhere, this guy, it's a one-way. This guy just turns and comes into this one-way. And it's like he's dead drunk. And if it was not for the Lord, that was a head-on collision. We're dead. We're gone. Like right there. There's so many moments I can look back and say, there, right there, that was God. My brother had to quickly jump and over the cab to the other side. There are moments where I look back, I'm like, there, that was God. There is no human explanation. You can try and explain in physics and the way. For me, that was God. For me, I put that as a memorial. I put that as a stone. I put that stone, I sit down there and rest and just remember the goodness of God. Just remember just one thing, not many things. If you can write it down, that would be good. Just take one thing that you remember clearly that this was God. Meditate on that. And just say thank you this week. If that's all you need, just remember one thing. Meditate on it. Rest on it. And use it to cultivate your posture of gratitude to the Lord. And see what happens to your faith, to your heart, to your praise. Everything. Just one thing. Say, God, I remember that. In fact, sometimes, even if it needs going to that specific spot, it's fine. Go there and just, remember. You disconnect and you connect with God. And it's amazing. It's like nature. It's like hearing the birds sing again. And that's what we need in our day. In the day of anxiety, in the day of all stuff, we just need a place to focus our hearts on. And the Lord is that place. The Lord is that place. Every one of us has a testimony. Every one of us has that one thing that says the Lord. I really want us to share. Just share with someone. Maybe let's sit in two or three sitting groups. I think as we break, I'll close, and then after that we'll go for coffee. Just share with someone. You know, it's good just to say it. Share with someone your testimony. Share with someone what the Lord doing. As you speak it, it does something to you as well. It's always good to keep our testimonies before us. They do something to our hearts. They change our posture. They change our attitude. They ignite our faith. And just the Lord has said, bring physical stones, put them up there, and let them be a remembrance. Let's close. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the entrance of your word. It brings light and it brings understanding. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the time of coffee that we're going to have, just to talk to each other and iron sharpens iron, and encourage each other as what you have done. And thank you that, Lord, you love us when we are rich, when we are prosperous, when we thrive. But thank you that we will do all these things, but we will keep our hearts in you. We will not forget the Lord. We will not forget your goodness, even as we thrive and grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Find someone, two, three people, chat over coffee, and let's enjoy. Thank you.